In 1988, I've shared a little bit about this before. I had been wrestling with what God wanted me to do in my life, and I finally gave in to the call of God to go into full-time ministry. I felt that God wanted me to be a pastor. I was okay with me and God knowing that, but I was a little nervous to share that. Not so much with church people, but I was more concerned about sharing it with my non-church people, my unsaved friends at school. And I just would think to myself, first of all, I wonder if they would ever perceive me as being able to be the minister of a church. Could I ever stand in front of a group of people? Did they perceive me like that? And secondly, what would come into their mind when I told them that I was going to be a pastor? And so I tried to avoid it for as long as possible. Anytime conversation began to stir about what people were going to do after high school, what occupations they were going to begin to pursue, I would leave the room or I'd switch the topic. I didn't want people to know that I was going to be a pastor because I thought, man, it's going to create all kinds of confusion. But eventually, I couldn't avoid it any longer. And so one day, someone asked me, hey, what are you going to do when you finish high school? And so I swallowed hardly. And I said, well, I'm going to go to Bible college and be a pastor. Really? So yeah, I'm going to be a pastor. And I'd begin to have these conversations. People were confused about that, and they'd ask me some interesting questions. For being a pastor, where do you need to go to school? Do you need to go to Rome? No. For being a pastor, do you need to wear a collar all the time? No, I don't need to wear a collar. Hey, for being a pastor, can you get married? I said, oh, I can get married, and I'm going to get married. That third question was the one that kind of pushed me over the line, and immediately I would say, hey, listen, I am going to be a pastor, not a priest. A pastor, not a priest. Now, while the statement was accurate, that I was pursuing to be a pastor full-time, the truth is that there was a little bit of inaccuracy with my statement. Because while it was true that in the world's eyes, I was not going to be a priest per se, biblically, I was already a priest. Biblically, I was already a priest, would continue to be a priest, and my future was destined to be a priest. You say, I don't understand. Well, the Bible tells us that once we become Christians, that we are part of a royal priesthood. I want you to look up at the screen this morning as we look at our next message in this series, Identity Theft. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Just let me just pause here just for a second. It's interesting that in the first part of the letter from Peter, to the Gentiles who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire, that he actually spends time focusing on the identity of what it means to be a Christian. Then he goes on in verse 9 and he says, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A royal priesthood. A holy priesthood. The Bible tells us that our identity in Christ is that each of us are priests. What's so unique is that Peter's writing to Gentiles. Gentiles who don't really even understand the priesthood. There's no possible way that they could perceive themselves as priests because the priesthood was specifically for the Levites. And yet Peter turns to them and says, hey, now that you're Christians, I want you to understand that each of you are priests. And so if you're a Christian in this place, I want to welcome you to the priesthood this morning. We are all priests. What does it mean to be a priest? First of all, it means that I have privileged access. I have privileged access. You see, as Moses began to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, God began to set up some structures, some systems, and some rules. He wasn't trying to be mean. He wasn't trying to be intrusive in their lives. But what he was trying to do was set up the proper way of things. And one of the systems that he began to put together was the priesthood. In particular, he let the priesthood, the Levites, the line of Aaron, understand who was allowed to get near God. Look at this passage in Numbers. Look at the screen for a second. Numbers chapter 18, verses 4 to 7. It says, they are to join you and be responsible for the care of the tent of meeting, all the work at the tent, and no one else may come near where you are. Very, very important. No one else may come near. You are to be responsible for the care of the sanctuary and the altar, so that my wrath will not fall on the Israelites again. I myself have selected you fellow Levites from among the Israelites as a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord to do the work at the tent of meeting. But only you and your sons may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar, inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. And then this is so important. Moses says, anyone else who comes near the sanctuary is to be put to death. Very encouraging letter. The priesthood. Only the people who were part of the priesthood could get near the presence of God. Anybody else who tried to get near the tent of meeting would be put to death. If anybody but the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, death. Priesthood allowed access to the presence of God, but anybody else had no access. I remember something like this in my life. I remember arriving at our youth convention in Alberta, in Edmonton, at the Rexall place where the Edmonton Oilers play. And there was about 17,000 students in this convention, and I was a seminar speaker. I was going to do some workshops that afternoon. When I arrived in Edmonton, there was a package there for me, and I received something like this, a lanyard with a pass on it. I looked at it, and I saw a full access pass. It had my name on it. And so I put that on, and I thought, look, I look pretty important now. Wherever I went through the building, people would look at my pass, and they would say, oh, you have full access to this. I could walk into the arena. I remember the Friday afternoon before the event started, there was this very significantly big band that was practicing on stage. It was a band that had actually grown up in Peterborough, and I knew the lead singer. And I just walked out into the middle of the Rexall place. And there I talked to the lead singer. I had full access. And I would go into a special room where they would service meals, and there would be the guest speakers and the guest artists and all the highly important people. I felt so special because I had my full access pass. I could walk just about anywhere. In fact, my friend Mike Love took me into the room where the Oilers, the dressing room of the Oilers. I sat there because that was Mike's office, and I was able to go just about anywhere in the Rexall place because I had full access pass. What was so cool was there'd be times I'd be in a room, and I could see that people wanted to come in the room I was. But you know, I'm in the meal room, and there are some pretty famous artists in there, pretty famous musicians, pretty famous speakers. I'm in this room, and someone would try to make their way in, and the security would look, and they would see that they didn't have the full access pass. I'm sorry, you can't come in. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to go any further. Oh, you can go into the arena. Oh, you can go into the play areas where all the airbound stuff is. You can go into the merchandise room. You can go into the seminars. But there are certain areas you can't go because it's reserved only for those with full access passes. You see, only the full access pass allowed someone into the presence of every single room, in the presence of those people that were in every single room. I could only go so far if I didn't have this pass. That was exactly what God was setting up. That unless you were a priest, you didn't have the full access pass into the tent of meeting. You didn't have the full access pass into the Holy of Holies. Only the priests got the full access pass. But look at this passage up on the screen, Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Let me tell you something. The moment you became a Christian, God gave you a full access pass. You became a priest, and he said, okay, now that you are my priest, because of Jesus Christ, here's your full access pass. You don't need to wait outside the presence of God now. You don't need to just come into the front door, but you can go into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus Christ. As a priest, friends, you have a full access pass to the presence of God. Full access. Absolute access, just like the high priest. I remember in 2012, just before I became the pastor here, I was running the general conference here in Ottawa at the Shaw Center. It was incredible. I got to go everywhere. I mean, I was in all the back corridors. I was in the loading dock. I would pull around to the back of the Shaw Center, park in there, and I could go anywhere in the place because they knew I was in charge. I was in charge of all production, so there were places that nobody else could go because they didn't have the full access pass. Now, my buddy Clark was with me at that conference. And we would sometimes head over in the morning, really early in the morning before anybody got there. And Clark didn't have a full access pass. And so as we would come into the Shaw Center, they would look at me and they would know who I was. They had seen me. My name was on the approved list. But they would look at Clark and they'd say, what about him? What, you know, he doesn't have the full access. He's not allowed to go through these doors. He's not allowed to go in the places that you go. And I would simply say this. Hey, don't worry. He's with me. He's with me. Every time we went somewhere where security tried to stop him because he didn't have the full access pass, I'd simply say, hey, don't worry. He's with me. Friends, listen to me for a second. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said to you, hey, don't worry. He's with me. He walked every step with you after the cross. You gave your life to Jesus. You gave your life to him. He walked with you. He grabbed your hand. And every time you want to get into the presence of God, the Father looks down and Jesus looks up and says, don't worry, he's with me. Don't worry, he's with me. My blood covers him. My past covers him. He's a priest. She's a priest. They're with me. And they have access to you, Father. They have access. They have privileged access to the presence of God. Friends, you need to know that whoever you are, if you are a Christian and you gave your life to Jesus, that he declared you as his priest and he gave you full access to him. Full access. That means that you can talk to God anywhere you go as the priest. You can listen to God and hear his voice, even as the testimony shared this morning, that God wants to speak to you because you're his priest. You can go into the presence of God. You don't need the worship here this morning. Not that you should stop coming to church. You don't need to gather with the people to experience God. Not that you should stop coming to church. But I want to tell you that no matter where you are, the presence of God, you can access him. You can be in your car and the glory of God can come in. You can be in your shower and the presence of God can come in. That's kind of weird, but it can. I mean, you can be walking down the street, presence of God. Walking through your workplace, presence of God. No matter where you go, you have a full access to him. But the Bible says, if we have full access, then we need to draw near. We need to draw near. You remember back in 2012, there was an email that had gone out about the Global Leadership Summit, and there was no spot for it in Ottawa. And so we decided that we would offer our church and see if we could host it that fall. And so in 2012, we hosted the Global Leadership Summit for the first time. Thought, man, this is a great, great conference. Didn't know much about it prior to that date, but I was just excited to be able to do that. As we turned the corner of 2012 and head into 2013, I got an invitation to go to a meeting for the Global Leadership host in downtown Ottawa at the Lord Elgin Hotel. The speaker, there's two speakers, Gordon MacDonald and Bill Hybels. Now listen, I don't get too inundated by the superstars of Christianity. I think most people are just, people are just normal. They have flesh. They get tired. They go to the washroom. They need showers. They use deodorant, hopefully, just like I do. I mean, we're just the same type of people. But Bill Hybels, I remember studying him when I was in Bible college. I remember 20-some-odd years ago studying this guy who had taken this little group of people and meeting in a movie theater and how this church had exploded. And I was being given access to a room of about 25 people to sit and not just listen to him, but to dialogue with this incredible leader. Now friends, I don't know what you would have done, but the moment that opportunity to have access to Bill Hybels became available to me, I didn't just treat it lightly. I didn't just go, big deal. It's Bill Hybels. Anybody can meet Bill Hybels. I mean, anybody can have a conversation with a guy who's pastoring a church of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Oh, anybody can sit down and just talk to this guy who has influence all over the world. Oh, it's big Bill Hybels. Who cares? Does he know who I am? I'm Jeff Hillier. I didn't do that. I thought, Bill Hybels, one of the greatest ministry leaders I've ever read about. I've read some of his books. I've watched him from a distance. If I have the opportunity to access Bill Hybels, I'm taking my pass and I'm going to draw near. You have the opportunity to draw near to the one who breathed life into this entire universe. Friends, I'm not just talking about a leader. I'm not just talking about a superstar of Christendom in North America. I'm talking about the one who is and was and will ever be. I'm talking about the creator of this universe, the one who can do anything, the one who took 6 days to create all of this universe, the one who can look at the dead and call them out of the grave and bring them to life, the one who sent his son to die on the cross for us, the one who we'll spend all eternity with. He says, hey, you are invited to draw near to me. You've got a full access pass. You got a full access pass, friends. And I want to tell you, when you are given the invitation with your full access pass as a priest of Jesus Christ, you need to draw near. I know the realities. Every week, the distractions. I was thinking about this morning. This week has been crazy. I think I had 10 minutes to myself this week in the office. It was just go, 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 go. And I thought, man, the enemy sure wants to get me busy to push me away from his presence. He wants to push us away from the opportunity to draw near. But I'm a priest. I've got full access pass. And when we have that privilege to draw near to him, let's take it as often as we can. We have been given the privilege of access. Number two, as a priest, I am prepared for his pleasure. One of the primary purposes of a priest was to offer sacrifices. Someone would come and they would bring either an animal or something from the harvest, and that priest would bring it before God, and the sacrifice acted as a means to bring pleasure to God. Perhaps it was a sin offering, and someone needed to get right, and God's anger was against them, and they would bring this animal, bring the lamb, and the priest would offer the sacrifice so that God's anger would be removed and his pleasure would come. Or perhaps it was a drink offering, and the individual simply wanted to honor God, and they would bring either a glass or some kind of container full of wine, and the priest would pour that wine out as a drink offering to say, God, I just want to honor you. The priest was the one who brought the offerings to bring about God's pleasure. Second Chronicles tells us an interesting story. It's the story of Uzziah, and Uzziah is this king of Israel who's really had God's favor upon his life. He's really seen the things that he would like to see as a king, because he's been following the things that God wants for his life. And he gets to a place where his successes get so great that he gets a little arrogant. And one day the Bible tells us that he walks into the temple to offer a sacrifice to God. The high priest and 80 other priests follow him in. And just before he's about to offer the sacrifice, I think it's Azariah, he says to him, he says, hey, King Uzziah, I just want to tell you something. You can't offer this sacrifice. Now, that seems so weird, because it's a good thing. It's a good thing, a sacrifice to God, that something that would cost him would be presented before God. But the priest reminds him, you can't do this, because sacrifices can only be offered through the priest. So important. I want you to follow this. Old Testament structure, only priests offered sacrifices. And Uzziah ignores the instructions, starts to offer the sacrifice. Because he ignores the instructions, God strikes him with leprosy and he has to get out of the temple quickly. Judgment comes. Because, friends, only priests can offer sacrifices. Only priests can offer sacrifices. Look up at the screen at 1 Peter one more time. Says this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Just sit here for a second. The Old Testament tells us that only priests can offer sacrifices. The Old Testament tells us that if you are not a priest, that no matter what you want to present to God, it will not bring him pleasure, because God has set up a system that only priests can bring those sacrifices that bring him pleasure. And the Bible tells us that when we became Christians, that we were designated, our identity became priests. He prepared us as priests so that we might be able to offer sacrifices through the blood of Jesus that brings God pleasure.
Do you get this? The moment that Jesus died on the cross and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he declared your identity a priest so that you might be able, you might be prepared to bring sacrifices that brings God pleasure. Through Jesus, we became priests. He prepared us. He prepared us to be his priests. Now, if you just give me a second. Ainsley and I went into a costume store this week. And the lady said to us, "Oh, are you excited about Halloween?" And Ainsley said, "No, it's not. That's not why we're here. We're here because my husband's a pastor and he needs to become a priest." You see, when I became a Christian, through the blood of Jesus, he prepared me to be his priest. He didn't just give me full access. He said, "You know what? I'm making this person a priest so that they can offer sacrifices for me. They can offer sacrifices for me because I want my people to always be able to bring me pleasure. I desire that my people would always be able to provide me pleasure, to always be able to bring me pleasure." Listen to this. This is so important. Before you became a Christian, before you put on your priesthood, before you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, some of you tried to do stuff to please God. You tried to earn his favor. You tried to please him. You thought, "I'll be good," or I'll donate to charity, or "I'll volunteer in this area." Do you know, no matter how good those acts were, none of them were sacrifices that brought him pleasure? All he saw was that you were separated from him. All he saw was that you were an individual separate. You could not bring him pleasure because you're not his priest. And so you tried and you tried and you tried to bring God pleasure. I'll be kinder. I'll be nicer. I'll give more money to charity. I'll do more of this. I'll do more of that. Surely God will be happy with me. And the fact is that you could not bring him pleasure because only a priest can offer a sacrifice. And all the Father saw was that you were in separation with him. And none of those things that you did mattered. But look at what the Bible tells us. Look at this next slide. We give sacrifices through our lives. Paul says to the Philippians, "But my life might even be poured out as a drink offering." My life might be poured out. Just keep the slide there for a second, Casey. Your life, everything about you, because now you're being prepared. Now you're wearing the garments of priesthood. Your life, everything about you can be poured out as a drink offering. Drink offerings were something that honored God. This is what Paul is saying. Every day, your life, the simple actions that are dedicated to God bring him great pleasure and honor. I mean, you might be a carpenter. And you go into a project and you say, "God, I want to do this to the best of my ability for your glory." And you're hammering that nail into the wall. You're offering a sacrifice of praise. You're offering a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. You're working in CRA, Ken, and you're putting numbers into the computer. And people go, "Well, there's no way that brings pleasure to God." But my life as a priest, I pour my life out like a drink offering. Every single thing I do that's dedicated to God brings him pleasure. See, friends, I know you might think that Sundays bring God pleasure, and I'm sure that they do. But Mondays, when you dedicate your life to him, it brings him pleasure. If you're doing things for your family, it brings him pleasure. If you're showing kindness to the person who serves you in Starbucks, it brings him pleasure. Before you were saved, it never did, but he prepared you as his priest that you might live life differently to bring him pleasure. This is the second verse in Romans chapter 12, 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Worship isn't about Sunday mornings. Worship isn't the moment that Pastor Steve strikes the guitar. Worship isn't the moment where you raise your hands. That's part of worship. But Paul says to the Romans, worship is what you do with your life, because you have been prepared as his priest, that every single thing you do with your body has the ability to bring God pleasure, because the Spirit lives in you and you have been declared his priest. Well, friends, this is powerful stuff, because if you will understand that you are a priest, then every single day, every single action, no matter how nominal it seems, is the opportunity for you to provide a sacrifice that brings the Father pleasure. Can you imagine worshiping Him by what you do at your computer? Can you imagine worshiping Him by what you do with a hammer? Can you imagine worshiping Him by the way you respond to your teacher's students? Can you imagine worshiping Him by the way you respond to somebody in the grocery store? You could never before, but He put the priest garments on you. And He said, "You're my priest. You have the opportunity to offer your bodies in a way that brings me pleasure." Oh, please, this is so important. For too long, we've talked secular and sacred. But I'm here today to tell you that as priests, many of the things that we used to call secular are so special to the Father. This needs to get into your minds. The sacred is not just the times of singing. The sacred's not just the times of prayer. The sacred's not just the things that we reserve for the church. The sacred, the stuff that puts a smile on the Father's face, is anything that we present to Him with our life. Anything that we present to our lives, because we are His priests. Not only do we offer sacrifices through our lives, but look at this next slide. We also offer it through our worship. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess His name. Okay, here's the deal. He doesn't care how well you sing. Please listen, He doesn't care how well you sing. That's very meaningful to me. It may not be meaningful for you, but it's incredibly meaningful for me. Because if I had been part of the first 6 days of creation after He created my vocal cords, I'm not sure it would have said, "And He said it's good." Because I am not a good singer. But it doesn't matter what I sound like. I'm a priest, and every time I sing, I present praise to Him that pleases Him. It doesn't matter how well I articulate things. I may not be the writers from Hillsong or Redding, California, or from Integrity or whatever. I may not be very articulate. I may only say, "Jesus, I love you." That's about maybe as articulate as I get. But if I offer it to God, it brings Him pleasure because I'm His priest. Listen to this. I don't need to move in any certain way. I went up to check the little flicker we had in the lights this morning. And I looked out, and there are some who worship like this. I call it soldier worship. They're singing it. They're singing, but they're standing there like this. Then there are some that are like this. Some like this. And then there's some who are like, they're into it. They got a little bit of sway. Then there's Pastor Nick who's like, he's jumping around, right? Thing is it doesn't matter how. It's just that you reflect something from your heart, and the Father looks down and goes, "There's my priest. They're offering me something this morning. They're offering me something, and I'm pleased with what they're offering me." You don't have to sing a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to sound good. You don't have to be articulate, because you're His priest. And if your heart reflects worship, if your heart is offering something to God, then it is your spiritual act of worship, and He's pleased. He's pleased. Oh, I think that I'll be part of the bad singers choir in heaven. I'm probably going to get front row seat, Pastor Steve. Bad singers of heaven, I'll be part of that choir. You won't want to come by and hear it, but the Father will be sitting in front row going, "Keep going, Jeff. Keep going. Just bellow it out." And Angela will be going, "Oh, please." I always say to her, "You're stealing my song when you tell me to be quiet." Everybody will be closing their ears, but the Father will be sitting in the front row going, "I don't care how they sound. I don't care what they look like. They're my priest. Jeff's my priest." And He's singing something that reflects His heart. And because He's my priest, He has been prepared to bring me pleasure. You see, friends, I want you to know every day you've been prepared to bring the Father pleasure. As His priest, you've been prepared to bring Him pleasure. We live our lives so often think that the Father is constantly angry with us. But the simple things of life, the things that are so inarticulate, the things that maybe seem so raw, they bring the light to the Father's face. They bring the light to the Father's heart because we are His priests. You see, as a priest, I am prepared for His pleasure. Prepared for His pleasure. I'm privileged for access. I'm prepared for His pleasure. And lastly, I am picked for service. I'm picked for service. When God sets up the priesthood, He chooses the Levites. It's such an interesting concept, friends, because you would think if I were God and I could just go back in time and say, "Hey, Father, this is what I think you should do." I don't think you should just have one of the tribes. I think you should have a select group from every tribe so that no matter where they're living, that they have access to you. They have a system. And I would explain to God that more people should be involved, but the Father says, no, I just want the Levites. I just want Aaron's ancestors. Look at this passage in Numbers. This is what we read. The Lord said to Moses, bring the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron, the priest, to assist him. The Lord also said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of the first male offspring of every Israelite woman. And this is, I love this part, the Levites are mine. The Levites are mine. You see, the Father is saying to Moses that he's chosen, he's picked. He has picked one tribe to be his priest. One tribe who have access to the Father. One tribe who are able to present sacrifices. One tribe who are meant to serve. One tribe. One tribe. They've been picked. The Levites are mine. In 1999, I've shared the story about how I went through and I was pursued what I felt was in my heart for the youth director position. And I remember that night as I was going to an annual business meeting, I had got a phone call. I had missed it. I'd just taken garbage out, came back, heard that there was a message from Rick Hilsen, the district superintendent at the time. And as I listened, he said, call him back. And I was pretty nervous because I wasn't sure what would the response be, what he was going to say to me. But as I called him back, he said, hey, Jeff, I just want to talk to you for a few moments. As you know, there were three candidates for the district youth director position. You know who they are, and he gave me their names. He said, this was the process. After the interviews that we had, we asked all the individuals who were part of the interview process, all eight individuals, to rank the individuals. One being their top pick, two being their second, and three their third. And he said, Jeff, it's brought me great delight to tell you that it was unanimous that you were picked number one by everybody first. When we picked all the ballots, you were the number one pick of all eight individuals in the room. Now, friends, Rick began to talk to me about the next steps about becoming the youth director. But all I could think about was this: that eight individuals picked me, 26 years old, pastoring in Pembroke, Ontario, in the Ottawa Valley. I mean, one of the candidates was in Toronto. He had 8 years experience on me. One of them was in the Durham region. He had about 15 years experience on me. And here I was, 26 years old. They picked me. What were they thinking? What were they thinking? And all, as Rick's talking, I hear just, you know, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. That's all I hear. That's all I hear. Because I keep thinking, Hillier, first. I got first. They picked me. They picked me to direct our youth ministries. They picked me to run our conventions. They picked me to run our camps. They picked me to pour into leaders. They picked me to take our youth ministry from where it is to where it should be. They picked me. I was first pick. I was overwhelmed that they would pick me. And as I'm standing there in my kitchen in Pembroke, I'm thinking, there's so many reasons why I'm not qualified. There's so many reasons why I don't deserve this. There's so many reasons why they should have picked somebody else to serve. There are just so many reasons why I shouldn't have been picked as the first, but they picked me. Peter says to the Gentiles in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. But you, friends, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Listen to me for a second. God picked you. You pull out the ballot of who he wants to be a priest. Pull it out of the hat. Get rid of the Hillier name, and you will see your name with first beside it. He chose you to be his servant. He chose you to be his priest. Of everybody he could have chose, he chose you. Oh, God, maybe you should have just picked a select group. Maybe just the ordained. Those of us who've gone through Bible college, who have 4 years or 3 years of Bible college, or those who have some Bible college, that we should be the ones who really get to serve the church. God, choose just them. Make them number one. Pick them to be the servants. And the Father says, no, I'm not choosing 1/12. I'm not choosing one selection. I'm choosing everybody. I'm choosing every male. I'm choosing every female. I'm choosing those who feel qualified. I'm choosing those who don't feel qualified. I'm choosing everybody in this place to be my priest. You're picked. Beside your name is first place. Friends, you have been picked to be his servant. You've been picked by God to be his servant. And you want to know why? Because the Spirit of the living God's inside of you. Listen, he doesn't look at you and just see your name. He sees your name plus the Spirit inside of you. And you are his priest. And he says, that person was picked to serve me. That person was chosen to serve me. That person was chosen to minister for me. They've been picked to be part of my priesthood. Every person in this place who gave their life to Jesus has been invited to be part of the priesthood. God gave you that identity. He picked you. He put a number one beside you because you are here not just to be a spectator, but to serve. And to be his minister. So, Pastor, what do I do? What have I been picked to do as a priest for God? Are you ready? First thing you've been picked to do is, look at this, to receive confessions. This is so important. The Bible says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, James 5:16. Look at that. Confess your sins to each other. You don't need to go to, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but you don't need to go to some Catholic priest in some confessional booth. You need to just turn to somebody who's a priest and they're right beside you. And friends, the Bible actually says that we are to confess our sins to one another because it helps us hold each other accountable so that we can grow together. You as a Christian, you as a priest have been called, have been picked to receive the confessions of people. You're not bringing them forgiveness, that's Jesus' job. You're simply hearing it so that you can walk along with them. You're called as a priest to be in each other's lives, to listen to confessions. James chapter 5, verse 16 also says, number two, that not only are we to receive confessions, but we are to pray for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Hold on just for a second. I just need to sit down. I just want to see what it looks like being a person of the congregation. So it says that we can pray for each other so that it can be. It doesn't say so that the minister, so the paid professional, so that the lead pastor, so that the youth pastor, so that the kids pastor can pray for people. They might be. It actually says that anybody who's a priest can pray for people so they can be healed. Oh, friends, that means every single person in this place, every single person in this place has been picked to serve God by praying for one another. Can I just be really honest? When I first got here, the communion time, the only people who were allowed to pray, and I'm not trying to be derogatory about any process of the past, but there was a system that seemed to me that the only people who were allowed to pray for people were board members or altar workers. James 5:16 tells me that everybody in this place is a priest, that we are the priesthood of believers. And while I respect Richard Coughlin as our chairman of our board, he's not the only person who's allowed to pray in this place. Right? And Richard would agree with me. And while I respect Pastor Steve, when someone needs healing, I don't need to call him. While I respect the altar worker ministry, I don't need to just look to them for the times when we need prayer for healing, friends. Because the Bible tells me that I'm a priest, even if I don't have credentials with the PAOC. That you're a priest and that God has picked you to go and pray for people and to see them get healed. That's who you are. You are his priest. Look at this, number three. Not only are we to pray for one another, but we are also to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The gifts of the Spirit aren't for Jeff Hillier. They're for me and you. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for the spiritually elite. They're for everybody who's a priest, who've been picked for service. That means, friends, that the word of knowledge can come to you. That means the gift of prophecy can come to you. That means that there are times that the speaking in tongues as a public a message from God can come to you. That means that the supernatural, the miraculous can come to you. That there are things supernaturally that have been reserved for his priesthood, not just for the paid pastor. We need to walk into this place saying, hey, I'm a priest. I've been picked to serve God. What do you want to do through me in this service? What would happen, friends, if every single one of us walked into this place knowing that our identity is that we are priests for God, picked for service, and we said, God, give me a word for somebody. Oh, you need to go to that church on St. Joseph. Everybody's got words, and they're pretty accurate because they're priests. They're all operating as priests. We're called to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Lastly, fourth is to serve in ministry gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our church is about 500 to 600 people. I'm not exaggerating. That's our reality. I can't minister to all of you. I just want to confess that today. I can't encourage and lead and prophesy and show mercy and be generous to every single person. I really want to. You have no idea how much I love this congregation. Ainsley and I were just talking about this last night. Just overwhelmed by God's faithfulness bringing us here. We just love this place. But I can't. I can't. This week, there were needs that I couldn't get to. I wanted to. I felt guilty. My schedule was just nuts. And I thought, I got to do this. I can't do it. And I know for most of you, you would say, well, Pastor, we don't expect you to do it for everybody. Just do it for me. And you. The design that God has after Christ is that every single one of us would be priests. And we need to raise up some people who will go to the hospitals. We need to raise up some people who just know that they're priests, who will stop by someone's home and be generous. We need to raise up people who aren't looking for Pastor Jeff to approve some new ministry idea, some idea out in the community. We need some people who will just operate in generosity and I'll never know about it. It's people who will just say, hey, I'm a priest and I'm going to serve. I'm going to minister in the gifts that God's given me. You see, friends, not one person can do it. Even our team is one of the most gifted teams that this any church in Ontario has. We have a great team. We just can't do it all. We need you. But even more than we need you, the people around you need you. And God called you to be his priest. You can come and get this robe afterwards because it's very hot. You can come and get it, but you are a priest. You are a priest. You are called to minister. I need you to visit hospitals. I need you to be generous to people. I need you to see the needs and step into people's lives. I need you to realize every time you walk in this place that you have something to contribute because God picked you to be his priest. He picked you to serve the church. I'm privileged for access, I'm prepared for his pleasure, and I'm picked for service. Bailey had this coach that for a number of years, and then the coach would always give them instructions. He would be on the bench, he would figure out how to win the game and bring delight to all the parents. He would have access to all the students, and he had a spot on the bench. And in the latter years of Bailey playing for this team, this coach got into some trouble with the law. He had been hiding some money through his, he was an investor, had been hiding some money, and he confessed that he had done this, and he was going to have to spend some time in jail. And so there's a few months where before he went to jail, he was around the games. And it was so interesting because in those months, he lost his identity. He had been somebody who was on the inside who had access to the boys. He was somebody on the inside who had an ability to bring pleasure to the parents because he knew how to win games. And he was an individual who could served so well to the team because he kept on giving instruction. He was an excellent soccer coach. But once this problem happened, he lost his identity and he became an outsider. Now he didn't have access to the boys. Now he had no ability to bring pleasure to the team, parents. And now he wasn't able to serve because of this impending court results. I was thinking about him this morning that he must have felt like an outsider. He must have felt like an outsider. I want you to know that the enemy wants you to feel like an outsider. He wants to steal your identity as priest. He wants you to come to a place where you go, oh, that was a cute little message that Pastor Jeff had, but that's not really me. All you are is just a spectator who comes on Sunday mornings. But that's all you are. If he can get you believing that you don't have the same access to God as I do, he wins. If he can get you believing that the things you do on a daily basis won't bring him pleasure, he wins. If the enemy can get you to believe, if he can get you to believe that you haven't been picked for service, that that's for somebody else, then he will triumph. He'll sit back and go, look at all these spectators. Oh, they're nice people, but they are not fulfilling what God called them to be. Friends, I want to tell you that we are not allowing our enemy to steal our identity. We are his priests. We have privilege for access. You have a pass. You have a pass to his presence. And just like me, you can hear from him. And just like me, you can talk to him. And just like me, you have the ability to get into the Holy of Holies. He made the way. He gave you full access. You are his priest, and today he has prepared you to bring him pleasure. And when you walk out of this place, it's your opportunity to please him with your words, to please him with your actions, to please him with everything you do, because you've been declared his priest. And in this place, he's picked you. He's picked you to move from the benches of spectating and to walk into this place saying, I'm a priest, picked by Jesus Christ. Number one by my name. I'm first. He picked me. Now let me serve. Let me minister to people. Let me use my gifting so that I can see the kingdom of God advance. You are his priest. Would you stand with me this morning? This is what we're going to do to close the service. We've got 10 minutes left. We're going to do this very quickly. If you have a need in here this morning, a sickness, a financial need, maybe you're facing some mountain, maybe you just need encouragement, if that's you, I want you to step out of your pew right now and to fill this altar area. If you have any need, just come right now. Tell you what we're going to need now. I need some priests. Not the pastors. The priests. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You were picked by God. He placed you. He picked you. He called you to be his priest. And this is what I'm asking. I'm asking the priests, those of you who are Christians, to step in right now and begin to minister to these people. Come on. Out of your pews, just come in, gather around them, lay your hands on them, begin to pray over them, listen to what God has to say. Let's begin to do some priestly ministry this morning. I need some more people. Come on, we need some ladies. And Pastor Steve's going to lead us in the song, Come to the Altar. And if you're in your pew and you just want to join us in singing, that would be great. But just gather around, lay hands, believe that you're the priest. Begin to pray for healing. Begin to pray for needs. Let's work as the priesthood of believers this morning. Go ahead, Pastor Steve.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord.
Keep praying. I'm going to ask those who are in your pews, if you just close your eyes for a second. Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like there is this great divide between you and God. You would love access to Him. And you're saying, Pastor, how do I get that? How can I hear Him? How can I talk to Him? How can I experience Him? I want to tell you here this morning that Jesus died on the cross to be your sacrifice, to get rid of that divide. And all you need to do is say that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe that He died and rose again, and make Him in charge of your life. And you can have full access just like every other person in this place. If you've never given your life to Jesus, but you want to this morning, would you just raise your hand, just wave to me? Really quickly to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. Is there anybody in this place? If maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to find out a little bit more about giving your life to Jesus, I'd encourage you to meet in the front row, right in the center front row. There will be an altar worker here this morning to meet with you. The rest of you can keep praying, but I want to close the service. Friends, this week, you go out of this place and your identity is you are His priest. Privileged for access. Prepared to bring Him pleasure. And picked to serve. And as we work as a priesthood, God is going to do great things through our lives. Not just on a Sunday morning, not just on a Friday night, not just in a midweek Bible study, but wherever we go, He goes. Great things through His priesthood. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank You so much that You have declared us to be Your priests. I pray that we would realize that our identity allows us access to Your presence. That we're like Aaron, able to go into the Holy of Holies. We can go in the most intimate place with You. We have access. We thank You that our identity prepares us to bring You pleasure. Every action, every word, let us bring You pleasure through our sacrifices. And lastly, Lord, I pray that we would know that we're not here just to fill in the pews. We're not here just to affirm the pastor or to be just another number on the attendance sheet. But You have picked us to be servants. You have picked us to hold each other accountable, to pray for one another, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and to minister in the things that You've placed in our lives. Let us be Your priests this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.